He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here live on a Thursday from Fashion Furniture, as we always are on these Thursdays. Good to be here. Good to be alongside you all. Big thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us from the previous hour. Catch his show. You can catch my show, and you can catch Palmetto's show, all on the 1430ESPNFresno.com website and the ESPN Fresno app as well. We're here for 1 hour today, just the 1 hour, as we take you up to March Madness starting at 4 p.m. The Sweet 16 gets underway, and leading us off, I believe, tonight is Texas and Purdue. So looking forward to all four games tonight. We'll have all four games tomorrow and all throughout the weekend March Madness coverage for that. We're here at Fashion Furniture. A reminder that they got some great deals here, as always. We got the outdoor living set by Fashion. Beautiful outdoor furniture now. It's a perfect time to be outdoors. Nice and breezy today. I'm imagining it would have been a perfect time to enjoy that outdoor furniture today with the weather we had. It's now available. It's part of that Horizon Hall collection. And you want to ask about their outdoor collections designed for your lifestyle. So you can finance it as well. 24 months deferred, interest available. And a portion of the sales proceeds during the month of March will be donated to that April honor flight honoring the veterans there. So all great reasons to come down to Fashion Furniture today. We got pizza from me and Ed's. Always thank you to me and Ed's for providing the pizza, as always, here on these Thursdays. And very excited to get into the topics of our show, which, like I said, only an hour today. No show tomorrow. So we're going to try to get our money's worth as best we can for this show today. Lee's Air Hotline is how you reach us, 559-320-1430. The way to get a hold of our show, 559-320-1430. The way to reach our show. Lee's Air Weather Check, 79 degrees. And like I said, it was considerably a little cooler. I was walking the pups this morning, and I was feeling the breeze considerably today with the weather there. So we might enjoy this cooler temp a little bit now, and then it's actually going to warm up a little bit more as we go into the weekend, seeing 87s across the board for the weekend. And then we hit the drop off, especially on Tuesday, potentially through Thursday, some rain, some 60s, all of that in front of you here for the next week when it comes to that. I believe a lot of people are going to be on spring break during that time. So maybe they're not the most ideal temps for a spring break atmosphere, but I don't make the rules. Anyways, excited to be here. Excited to be alongside you folks. What we got on the show today, we have our Student Athlete of the Week interview. They stopped by the station earlier today. Members of Kingsburg Baseball, Travis Clifton. Did you know he threw a no-hitter last week? Well, we're going to talk about that with him and head coach Jim Cranford today. So if you want to listen to that interview, that's coming up at around 3:15, 3:20 or so today when we get to that time in the show. Talking a little bit about that Giants home opener last night and, of course, the March Madness ahead. What are we watching this weekend? All of it within this hour before we sign off at 4 o'clock for March Madness Sweet 16 live from San Jose, I believe, is the first game today is where that host. So home of the Sharks is the home of the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight for this weekend. So, anyways, good to be here. Good to be alongside you folks. Just me today. Daniel usually here, but he's, just an hour show. He gets the time off. We got Jorge back in the studio. And, Jorge, appreciate you being here, locking in for the hour. How are we doing, Jorge?
Doing good.
Yeah, doing good. Sounds good. You're doing all right, even though your Giants put up a nothing burger last night with that performance, 7-0 to the Yankees. A little bit of a disappointing start for the Giants season. That not much good coming from last night's game for the Giants.
A nothing burger? Is that what we're calling it? Nothing
calling
burger?
I'm calling it a nothing burger. It was almost outside of a complete nothing. If it was a complete nothing burger, they would have got no hit, but at least a couple hits happened
for
them. But outside
of
that,
can you explain what that is to the people out? Because I believe you're using a word that's,
yeah.
As a millennial myself, I barely get it, but, you know.
You barely get a nothing burger. It is something that you anticipate the greatness of what a burger can provide, and then it gives you nothing. No satisfaction, nothing to it at all. And I would imagine for Giants fans last night, that was maybe one of the least satisfying opening days out there. A lackluster performance, 7-0 the final yesterday for the Giants. And maybe we can just blame this on Netflix last night. I don't know.
Yeah, I blame Netflix.
We never had the good vibes of the game last night, especially when, crying out loud, the game's supposed to start at 5:05 last night, and we had about a 25-minute yep. infomercial that delayed the game till about 5:30 last night. Good God, was that just horrific to sit through before the game. Bert Kreischer's funny, but, man, he's overused in every bit of the sense of it. And so him screaming at the fans, I got to imagine last night was a very strange atmosphere for anyone who actually went to the game.
They couldn't say McCovey Cove.
No, they couldn't say McCovey Cove. They made it like the One Piece Cove or whatever. They had like their shows out there promoting the thing. They had Bert Kreischer drinking a Corona in a kayak in the middle of the fourth inning.
They had to wait till his shirt was off, you know.
There were many flaws with last night's Netflix presentation. I'll get to – there's a few good things. Many flaws last night for me with that presentation. Because, like I said, we can evaluate what the Giants did last night. It was not very good baseball last night from this standpoint. But, my goodness, I hope Giants fans, and I'm sure a lot of Giants fans out there probably thinking the same thing. Like, I hope we never have a game on Netflix ever again. Because the score bug – was horrendous. You could barely read anything. The tiniest text you could possibly think of. They forgot to leave it up for some part of the game. Like, they were interviewing Jazz Chisholm in the second inning, and they just didn't have the score bug for a long portion of the game up. Like, no one knew the count. No one knows what's going on. Like, why are we doing this when Jazz Chisholm is fielding and having the conversation? So that was a horrendous aspect of the game. How about we missed baseball history last night because they're interviewing Tony Vitello in the middle of the game because, guess what? The ABS challenge, the first ABS challenge happened. But, no, we have to do this in-game interview with Tony Vitello and we still didn't even know what the right call was versus what the challenge call was on the pitch. I think it went in the Giants' favor. I'm not quite sure because Netflix didn't quite have it going for them. Netflix was late coming out of a couple of commercial breaks. I think they missed a batter. In one of the commercial breaks, like it was so disorganized, and like I said, back to the aspect of 25 minutes late of a first pitch. I'm telling you, what a disaster last night for Netflix, at least from my viewing standpoint. They gotta shape it up as best they can because last night was not a fun experience to watch baseball.
Yeah, I personally, I only watched like the end of the game, and
might have been the best part. But you knew it was almost over.
Yeah, I mean, I was here. I was working until 7, so I was you know watching part of listening to it on here
right.
in the radio. So, I mean, I only went back and looked at the videos of everything that happened, and I was like, man, that was not a great experience for anyone.
And I'm not blaming. There's a couple of redeeming factors. The other one was the horrendous interview with Rob Manfred. What softball questions were being thrown at Rob Manfred in that booth? And he went in like a very short inning, and that was it. You got nothing of substance of Rob Manfred. What a waste of time with that. But I do think I did like the broadcast team. I didn't think I hated Matt. I didn't hate Matt Vasgersian and Hunter Pence and CeCe Sabathia. Together, Hunter's Pence still to me is kind of not one of my favorites. He's a little just too sporadic in the press in the box. Like he doesn't really quite let the game breathe a little bit. It's kind of tough watching him and Kipe in the Giants regular booth when they're on the road games. But outside of that, the one redeeming factor to me last night, Jorge, was that we got a lot of substance from Barry Bonds last night. And I think he was the most interesting part of that entire broadcast last night for the Giants, was Barry telling stories, talking about George Steinbrenner and how close he was to signing with the Yankees. And the only reason he didn't sign with the Yankees was because George Steinbrenner said he has a deadline to sign his Yankee contract by 2 p.m. that day. And Barry said, "Are you kidding me? You're setting a deadline on me? I get to decide when I want to sign with the team." And he hung up on him and didn't answer the calls back. And the Giants called about a couple hours later, and Barry said, "Yeah, I'll sign with you instead of the Yankees." And that apparently is the history of how that went down. Fascinating story there.
And
Barry Bonds.
Apparently Barry Bonds was supposed to be in there for longer, and they just didn't have him there.
I don't know why you didn't just keep Barry in that booth.
He was supposed to do color commentary, but they decided to not have him there.
And maybe it's part of the negotiation aspect of, like, Barry just, you know, demanding so much money for what he's doing there, and it's all work and all that stuff. But my goodness, like, you know, to the same relative factor of, like, NBC, like, shipping out Michael Jordan content when they were like, "Oh, yeah, we got Michael Jordan for some interesting stuff during opening night." And then we kind of realized, well, Michael Jordan didn't really have much of substance there. But it's Jordan for me in basketball, and it's Barry Bonds for me in baseball. They could talk about paint drying, and I would be so interested in what they're talking about when it comes to the sport of baseball and sport of basketball, because they are just so head and shoulders above of what greatness is in that sport. I need more. If the Netflix thing wants to work out, they need to put more Barry Bonds in anything that they're trying to do. And maybe it was a one-time off because it was in San Francisco last night. Who knows? But that was the only thing that was keeping me in that broadcast, was just great Barry Bonds content last night from the Giants aspect. Outside of that, though, Giants got hit around pretty badly. Logan Webb didn't really look sharp. He was hitting batters. You know, he nailed Jazz Chisholm in the back, and then there was just hard hit balls and different gaps and everything like that. Giants making some rough defensive plays. Like, they were hitting Yankee runners with the baseball. They weren't like, the throws were so errant. They were literally hitting Yankee runners in the base pads instead of gloves. They got saved even a little bit on some runs because a ball hit Caballero and kept it from going into right field as opposed to Arise fielding the play. And so I'm not concerned about one game. I will be concerned if we see more stuff like this in the next couple of days. The Yankees are a good team. They can make you look foolish and silly, but it just was not a sharp game for the Giants last night. Pretty disappointing in that performance. And I'm not going to panic on Logan Webb. It's his first start. He had some really bright flashes. Like, let's be honest, when you strike out Judge as much as you do last night, maybe there's something working for you. But outside of that, I'm not totally concerned about the Giants after one game, but not the ideal start, I would say, for San Francisco. So, Jorge, you just ready to turn the page and go to tomorrow, right? 1:35 tomorrow, right?
I don't count that one.
That one doesn't count. This is the actual home opener for the Giants.
It's
funny because the Giants on Twitter are like, opening day tomorrow, Robbie Ray. They're calling it opening day. Like, this is when the Giants can kind of do their actual version of opening day, as opposed to what the hell Netflix was trying to do with the taxis and the trolleys on the field. I don't know what the hell was going on. It's crazy stuff. Anyways. All right. Well, let's take a break because we got our interview coming up here. Kingsburg Baseball interview, Student Athlete of the Week. We talked to Travis Clifton, who is the first kid, at least for Jim Cranford, to ever throw a no-no for the Kingsburg Vikings. And by the way, they've had some really good baseball players come through that program. So let's take a break, and when we come back, we chat with Mr. No-No himself, Student Athlete of the Week, Travis Clifton, next on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Reminder, we're live streaming right now on YouTube, audio only today, on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. ESPN Fresno is all you got to search over there for those platforms to make it happen. So, hey, Student Athlete of the Week, we brought it back this week because we're in the spring sports now, baseball, softball, all that stuff, rocking and rolling. And no better way to start than how about a no-no from our Student Athlete of the Week this week, Travis Clifton from Kingsburg Baseball. So much attention from Jensen Hirschhorn. And by the way, we watched Jensen's pitch 2 nights ago. Forgot to remark that yesterday about this on the show. Jensen Hirschhorn, just a marvelous pitcher to watch. 14 Ks through 6 innings last 2 days ago. How about 8 straight at one point? How about 5 down looking? Jensen's the real deal. That was fun to watch. But Travis Clifton is fun to watch too, especially when he's on it. And we got a chance to talk with him and his head coach, Jim Cranford, today about his season so far. So we recorded this earlier today. First time you're hearing it on our show. So here's our Student Athlete of the Week interview for this week with Travis Clifton and Jim Cranford of Kingsburg Baseball.
All right, we're joined here now by our next Student Athlete of the Week for this last week of March. It's good to be here with a couple members of the Kingsburg baseball program. Travis Clifton here along with head coach Jim Cranford. Guys, appreciate you for swinging on by and stopping by our studio.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. It's fun to talk about Kingsburg baseball. We were just watching you guys a couple days ago and grinded out a nice win. But, Travis, you're the headliner, of course, with the no-hitter, the no-no. Right, that's what gets you on the show here. And Travis, first of all, congrats on being named our Student Athlete of the Week. How does that feel?
Feels great. I had one of my friends get it in the past, so it was always just like, oh, that's really cool, and it's really nice to get it now.
Yeah, now you're referencing Jensen. We can talk about Jensen from last year, and Jim, you know. Travis, he is a guy that has been a really good player for you this year and, of course, culminating in a no-hitter. We'll talk about that game, but just in general, you know, talk about Travis and what he's been able to do this for your program this season.
He's been really, really consistent on the mound. You know, I mean, getting ahead in counts. Real tempo has been a lot better. He's got us out of some jams. You know, he started relieving at the beginning of the year, and now he's come in and been the second starter, and he's just really been consistent. I think that's the biggest thing. He's got good stuff, but his consistency has been really, really good this year.
And good enough to, you know, throw a no-hitter after 7 innings against Washington Union, right?
Yes.
And that 9-0 victory. And Travis, certainly that is an accomplishment. Your first no-no ever, was that for you? Or how many no-nos have you thrown before?
I think that's my second. I threw one in middle school.
Okay.
That's
a little bit different for high school, though.
Yeah, it's my first in high school.
Coach, you don't come across no-nos very often, even at the high school level. It's hard to do that.
It's difficult. Yeah, kids run into pitches, and to my knowledge, it's the first one we've had there since I've been there.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's
incredible.
We've
had kids come close, but one-hitters, but it's pretty astounding, you know what I mean?
And you think of the caliber of players that have been in the Kingsburg program, so at least from when you've been there, right? And so to have Travis do it.
We've had some really good ones go through, so it's a heck of an accomplishment.
Yeah, so let's talk about that game specifically with Washington Union. So, Travis, what were you feeling before that game? Because clearly you're going to try to replicate it the next time you're out. So do you remember what the day was like for you?
Yeah, I was super sick that morning.
Wow.
I almost didn't go to school. I woke up with a cough and a really bad migraine. And I ended up going to school so I can pitch in the game.
Yeah.
And took some DayQuil and some caffeine and just went from there.
You were sick. It was a flu game, like a Michael Jordan flu game, per se.
Yep.
I don't know.
Usually that's when they play the best because they don't try to overdo, you know. They just stay within themselves. And he had good command that night.
Yeah, Coach, you know, he's like on the mend. He's almost missing school because I imagine you got to go to school if you want to play your game.
Right? Have to be in class 2 periods
yeah.
in order to play.
So he's not feeling too hot, and you're sitting there like, man, I don't know. Should I just try to go with someone else here tonight? Or what was the thought process before the game?
I didn't know he was sick. So I mean,
he didn't tell you.
if it's not said, then I don't have to worry about it. So he didn't say a word about it. He just went about his business and went, took the ball and went out and did a good job.
Travis, you didn't want to get caught, but you were like, no, I'm not going to tell coach. Until,
yeah, I mean, there's, it's not an excuse if you do bad if you play through it. So
right. So getting into the rhythm of the game, right? It's a home game, so you're starting it off right at the beginning. And so first inning usually is the settle-in process of how you're going to feel, how you're going to go through. And so obviously – What was that like for you to just kind of settle into the ball game in that first inning? You know, tell me a little bit about the early stages of that game and what you're feeling.
The first batter, my thought process was settle in with the fastball early and not worry about how the ball is jumping out of my hand. And turns out it was jumping out of my hand pretty hard that night. And so I just worked from there, just stay in the zone and not worry about doing too much.
Not worry about doing too much in terms of, you know, just overthrowing or something like that, or trying to get a guy, bad guys. Like when you're in an easy kind of mode like that, that's probably your best version of you, right, coach? And you were probably noticing that first couple innings. He's like, he just feels a little, he's really comfortable up there.
Well, he wasn't nibbling. He was going right at people. And, you know, I mean, a lot of times kids waste pitches because trying to get a punch out. He just 0-2, he's just going right at people. You know, he had a good, like you said, he had a really good jump on the fastball, had a really good slider Friday night. It was a really, really good slider, real tight. So he didn't need to kind of mess around too much. He got after it.
Yeah, I see on the line 12 Ks in that game, but every out matters in that game, and certainly going through it. Were there plays where you're like, oh man, I hope they get it, or you know, from the defensive side, were there some close calls in that game?
Yeah, there was a dribbler that got past me that Kellen had to make a play on, our shortstop, and luckily he made the great play to keep it going.
Big defensive plays like that, coach.
Yeah. Yep. There was a play early in the game that I had called it originally a hit, and then went over and talked to Coach Fox, and they called it an error, and we changed it back to their call, and he rolled after that. So, I mean, I think one hard hit ball in the seven innings and line drive the second baseman for a double play.
Right.
So,
when did you start allowing the thought of this creep in? Was it top seven? You were looking at the scoreboard, I'm like, oh, there's a zero up there. When did it start rolling in your head?
Whenever I walked into the six, I was like, that's cool. And I came out of the six, and I asked Coach Woods, like, what do I have to do to stay in the game? Because I thought I had more pitchers than I did.
Yeah.
And he was like, talk to Cranford. And Cranford, I don't
know. I was taking him out in the six.
Just you were
because
ready.
Of pitch count.
Yeah. Where was he at?
He was high 80s in the – what did you throw the last inning? About eight pitches, nine pitches?
Yeah.
So you finished it with 97?
Yeah.
So he was high 80s. So and I that's a pet peeve for me. I don't like the kids to go that deep, you
right.
know, and stuff. So he told me it was good, so I said, all right, finish it.
It's not every time you get to leave the guy out there for a no-hitter potential seventh inning, right, coach?
Yeah, the no-hitter's nice, but the arm's better.
Right.
You know, we want to save the arm. So we had two guys going in the pen in case he was in trouble, and he sailed. He got after guys in that last inning, so
yeah,
did a good job.
So take me through last inning, real efficient work, right? You yeah. proved, coach, that you could stick in there and finish it out. So what was it like? How you know? Can you go through the sequence there and what the emotions were?
I don't remember the first. I don't remember the first batter at all, but I remember the third batter was Koa.
Okay.
And I had played with him in the past. I went to Japan with him.
Yeah.
And he was the one that drove the ball to second. So I was like, I need to lock in here. And I think I started him with a slider and then two fastballs that he was late on. And that's how it ended.
And what was the celebration like? Did everyone know and everyone just went and huddled you real quick? Or what was it like?
No, it was like the opposite for a second. Jonah didn't run up to me. And the bullpen, like, got – I'm not the bullpen. The dugout, like, got out. And then nobody did anything. So I'm like, are we not doing anything? And then Jonah ended up, like, running up, like, 10 seconds later.
You wanted to throw your glove, I'm sure. You were like, let's go. Let's
yeah.
do this.
And I was wanting something, like, cool. And then it took a second.
And coach, they didn't end up celebrating like that. And as a coach, you just look at that. It, you know, the way the team comes together like that at the end of a game like that. And you know, what you know, what is it like kind of watching those guys experience that kind of moment?
Well, you know how Travis knows how hard we work. We put in a lot of time and effort, and it's just, it's great to see the kids accomplish their goals. And I'm not saying that a no-hitter was his goal, but
right,
just to see them grow, and they sacrifice for each other. We, you know, we ask a lot of our kids in Kingsburg, and I mean, even like on an easy practice yesterday, they ran a lot, and we were on the field for 2.5 hours. They were having fun,
right?
But you know, it's demanding, and so it's just great to see them smile, be a kid again, enjoy the game, play the game for the sake of the game. So it was just kind of fun to watch.
And this momentum for you, Travis, because what you're playing tonight? Are you pitching tonight? Is that where he's
on the bump tonight?
Yeah, he'll be on the bump is when people are listening, when you guys go take on Emmanuel. So, but you know, it's exciting because this team, you know, I don't know if there's a better 1-2 punch in pitching in the Central Valley right now, based off what you guys got, right?
It's been good. It's been consistent.
Do you feel that way, Travis? Like you and Jensen, you know, 1-2, you put them up against anybody in the Central Valley.
I think we are definitely up there, but our bullpen is just as good with JT, Justin Bowling, Morgan. All of them are just as good.
JT closed out the game on Tuesday, right? Mm-hmm. In knocking off Central Valley Christian. Let me ask you about your relationship with Jensen, right? Because you guys goes pretty back, right? How far back do you and Jensen go?
I'd never made any All-Star team,
uh-huh.
So I never like directly played with him, but I've played against him in like rec ball and stuff like that.
Okay.
And last year was the first year I actually ever played with him.
Really?
Yeah. And he's like any other teammate. He's a good teammate. He's just better than all of us.
Yeah.
But he's just like any other person.
Now, I want to ask Coach, the competitiveness amongst the guys you throw on the mound, right? Travis wants to one-up Jensen. I know Jensen's already – he's got all the hub and popularity of what he's doing, but do you sense a competition between the two players when it comes to what they do on the mound each night and out?
I don't really think so. I think they just kind of do their own thing. I mean – don't get me wrong. I mean, they look at what's happening and stuff, but I think they're just genuinely happy for each other when they succeed, you know? So, I mean, it's a good group of kids. They get along fairly, you know, pretty well. And I don't really see that competition. Is there?
No.
No.
Jensen's Jensen.
Right.
Travis is Travis. I mean, they're who they are, and they just go out and they're goofy and they do what they do.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a low-key personality that maybe keeps the blood pressure low when you're on the mound in situations like that, right?
Yeah.
And
Trav's not so low-key on the mound anymore. No. No, he's a little different this year, a little bit more fiery and stuff, and kind of getting after him, the dugout firing guys up. And
yeah.
Or yelling.
It's a lot different. I kind of like it, you know, and stuff. He doesn't do it to show anybody up on the mound.
No.
But when he gets in the dugout, he's a pretty happy camper. So, and the kids feed off that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of great to see.
And the lineup feeds off of that, and the team feeds off of that, and it's feeding off great performances, right? And so when you're in this season, right, and you guys have you're navigating this early part of the season, you know, tell me a little bit just about, you know, what you guys have kind of learned about yourselves through the first bit of this season right now, Travis. Like, what are you learning about how good this Kingsburg team can be?
I don't think we're near as good as we can be.
Mm-hmm.
Our pitching is like what you said, like amazing,
right?
And our hitting is this close to just popping 10 runs a game,
right?
We're just leaving too many runners on. The second we get them in, we're gonna be popping 10 runs a game. So I think we're gonna be really good.
Coach, it's, you know, it's about getting those key hits and those key moments. I know last game you had some bases loaded situations, and I'm sure you're hoping to push across a few more, but that's early part of the season, right? You want to be pushing where those guys adjust a little bit more when it comes to April and May, and you want to see those situations change a little
bit. Well, we talk about the three parts of the season. You know, you got preseason, you got league, and then you've got post.
Right.
And you've got to take each one and get better. And I think Trav's really right. I think this team has a ton of potential for growth, you know. We just got to mature, you know. I mean, and – understand that there's no situation that's too big. I mean, we talked about stress, you know. I mean, who is the stress really on when you're in that situation? Well, it's on the pitcher. He's got to make a pitch. You just got to be on time. And But, you know, it's hard because you've got everybody in the stands. And the bad thing about – we just don't play enough.
Right.
I mean, you know, you think they play forever. 33 games is not – I mean, if you go all the way to state championship, you're at 36 games.
Right.
When I was in high school, we played 45 before the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it'd be nice to see if we could open it up a little bit. But and so we inter-squad a lot and do some things to try to put them in game situations. But I think there's a lot of room for growth with this group.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fun to watch. You know, it was a full house a couple nights ago, like I said, when we were there. You know, Trav, when it's exciting to see the popularity of what your program's presenting, even to the level of seeing these scouts here for Jensen, of course. But, you know, there are eyeballs on this Kingsburg program. And does that get you excited about, you know, what it's offering as far as opportunities are for you guys? And maybe people don't know what Kingsburg is like outside of here in the Central Valley, but there's a buzz about what this team has and what it's developing.
Yeah, we're just going after the teams before us. We had back-to-back Valley Championships, and then last year we made the Valley Championship and lost. But, like, we just have to play to what the teams before us did and keep our name up. And we'll continue to get looks for college. We'll continue to have these opportunities after if we just continue, like, the Kingsburg baseball name.
Right. And Coach, same question kind of to you in that sense, right? With the eyeballs you see that are coming to your games night in, night out. You tell me all the time about the emails you get so many times about everybody wanting to come and see this team. And it's not just obviously with what Jensen can do, but anybody can be noticed at any certain opportunity, right? And
I tell our kids the ultimate compliment is when somebody wants to be like you. And so, you know, we pride ourselves on hustle. We don't talk to umpires. We try to be real positive in the dugout. And, you know, I'm not asking the kids to be role models, but they are being role models. So, I mean, it's like I said, they sacrifice a lot. We ask a lot, but they do a lot. So we're really proud of them.
You guys are getting set to face Emmanuel tonight. That's going to be a good one. That Emmanuel team's got some real
– I don't know much about him. I know one of the assistant coaches, like – almost a son, Jacob Wild.
Right.
So, I mean, his dad and I coached together forever. And so I know Jake's very knowledgeable, and he's got – I don't know the head coach, but I know Jake's doing a good job with the pitching staff.
So with this and then the stretch, you got a little in-season tournament with the things coming up, of course. And so the schedule crunches a little bit here. But like you said, Coach, I think you want these games to kind of test these guys a little bit. So what's the next couple of weeks? What are you wanting out of this group for the next couple of weeks here?
Just to keep developing, be consistent. After the tournament, we're in the Tulare tournament. After that, we'll give them some days off and then start playing and go down the stretch and try to get ready for the playoffs.
Travis, for you, I just want to ask, you know, so because we know about Jensen, but what's your like future looking like for you? And are you kind of thinking about where you're going next year? Forgive my ignorance if you've made decisions or not, but what's baseball future looking like for you as a potential guy?
I am currently keeping my options pretty open.
Yeah.
If any big opportunity comes up, then I'm going to take it. But right now, I'm looking at junior college as my option.
Certainly a good opportunity and route to go and coach.
Well, he's really good in the classroom, too.
Right.
So if somebody needs a right-handed pitcher, I mean, he won't have any trouble getting to school and stuff like that. But, okay. You know, with the roster restrictions with NIL, it has changed the face of the way recruitment happens now.
You know?
I mean, unless you're that top 10% guy, it's hard to go to a Division I. You know,
right.
You almost have to pay your dues and work up. And it filters down where a lot of guys get cut every year. There are no more four-year scholarships. It's a year-to-year, either produce or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Trav will be successful because he's got a good work ethic, got a big heart. And whatever level, he'll find the level he can play at, and he'll be successful.
JUCO certainly got some gates open with that.
It's not easy. Yeah. I mean, you're looking at one of the top teams in the nation at Fresno City.
Right.
I mean, it's tough.
Yeah.
You got to compete.
Yeah, certainly. And Travis, you got your options open. So we'll look forward to seeing where you're going. Regardless of where you're going, we're excited to see how it goes. And hopefully you perform well tonight. against Emmanuel. And we're looking forward to seeing what you guys do, and hopefully maybe we'll see you down at a Valley Championship and again like last year.
Ultimate goal. Yep.
Yeah, down in Visalia. Ain't that something every year. So congrats again, Travis, on being named Student Athlete of the Week. Hope you enjoy your prizes. Now you can show that off to Jensen. He's not the only one over there in Kingsburg that's got that big old check. Mm-hmm. Maybe bring that to the game with you.
Don't do that.
Anyways, enjoy the prize we got for you, and thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having us. Really appreciate all the work you do. You do a great job, you and Paul. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome to have you out there. Always welcome in Kingsburg.
Well, I appreciate it, Coach. Thank you very much. Guys, good luck tonight. Okay.
Thank you for having us.
All right, we'll be right back with more Behind the Bench right after this on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader.
Let's play ball, it's game day. Strikeouts, base hits, double plays. Take the field.
Keep it rolling. Keep it rolling, Jorge.
Come on, Marlins, make us proud.
Yeah. Thank you, Jorge, for that beauty and graceful song. I have totally forgotten about Creed's Marlins song. Thank you for playing that into our opening day themed show for only an hour. I appreciate you jogging the memory, because I have totally, totally forgotten about that song. Thank you, Jorge. Oh, man, that's awesome. That's awesome. How are you sitting on that? How long were you sitting on that, Jorge?
I was gonna put it at the beginning, and then I thought maybe I'd just start with a regular song and then, you know, get this one going.
Yeah, yeah. Ironically, the Marlins don't play today.
So,
yeah, that's the irony. That's tomorrow. Man. Opening day today. It's been a lot of fun so far. We're in the office watching the Mets and the Pirates. How about Paul Skeens getting shelled for 5 runs, not even getting out of the first inning? Goodness, that was something different from him. So Mets got a win today. Milwaukee Brewers all over the Chicago White Sox today, 14-2. The Nationals, probably the most surprising result, beating Chicago 10-4. The Cubbies, 2-1 Baltimore over Minnesota. My Red Sox, let's go. 1-0. 3-0 over the Reds on opening day in Cincy. And then you got some scores going on right now. Angels up 2-0. Mike Trout with a home run. First game of the year, Mike Trout with a homer. So there you go for you Angel fans out there. Pods are about to lose 8-2. They're down to the Tigers. You got the Rays and Cardinals. How about a 9-7 affair in the seventh inning? That's been competitive. And Phillies are up 5-2 on the Rangers in the ninth inning as well. You got the Dodgers later today at 5:30 against the Arizona Diamondbacks. You got the Guardians and the Mariners rounding out opening day today. Not everybody, like I said, is opening today in their season. There's 3 other series. There's 6 teams that have yet to start this season off today. They're starting tomorrow. That is your Athletics tomorrow. They're in Toronto when they take on the defending American League champs, the Blue Jays, at 4:07 from Toronto. You got the Rockies and the Marlins. Yes, your Marlins, who are looking to soar. They're at 4:10 tomorrow. And then the other series that's opening tomorrow, the Kansas City Royals and the Atlanta Braves from Atlanta, 4:15 tomorrow as well. Giants are going to be at 1:35. The only day game tomorrow, Jorge, Giants and Yankees. At 1:35, which we are going to air right here on 1430, and it's a reason we're not going to have my show tomorrow because of that. 1:35 start time, which means we have a 1:05 pregame for the Giants tomorrow, so be prepared for that, which means no Tony D tomorrow, which means no Sportsline Bulldog Hour Tony D tomorrow, which means also no Behind the Bench tomorrow, because we're going to join in progress Sweet 16 action day 2
on Friday as well from 14:30. So jam pack, you want to lock in 1 o'clock tomorrow on Friday, and we are rolling with some high speed sports action at you there for everything going on. So the weekend, Saturday, Paul Metter's back with his Central Valley Sports Report from 10 a.m. to noon on 14:30. Following him later in that day, the Giants will have their third and final game of the series against the Yankees, which is at 3:45 pregame with a 4:15 first pitch from San Francisco. Over on the other side on 790, you got a doubleheader. A's and Blue Jays, 11:30 pregame with a 12:10 first pitch from Toronto for the A's. Joining in progress from then, you'll have the Elite Eight action there. Sunday we'll have March Madness back on 14:30 with the other Elite Eight matchups. A's and Blue Jays over on 790. We'll be back Monday, full behind the bench, 3 to 6 p.m. on Monday, there with you getting set for Giants and Padres at 6:10 with a 6:40 first pitch from San Diego. So there you go. Jorge, miss anything on the schedule? That's pretty good right there. Even looks like we got everything. Sharks and Blues tonight. Sharks just in desperate need of a win. They've dropped five in a row. So that's also going on at 4:30 with a 5 p.m. puck drop. Anything else I missed there, Jorge, for the listeners out there that need to know what's going on?
No, that's pretty much it. We just don't have the space for the Lakers now, but they're out of playing. But as soon as we get, you know, this NCAA finish, we'll have space for them.
And the Laker playoff will start in about 3 weeks from now, and we'll definitely be locking in with the Lakers playoff run as well. There's probably going to be the 3 seed going into the Western Conference playoffs, so we'll be in there. But we'll play the Lakers at our ability to do so. Just so much happening right now. March Madness, Giants, A's baseball, Sharks hockey. It's all right there right now. With everything that's going on. So, speaking of, this is our last show of the week. So, Jorge, as we do traditionally before the weekend, which is a 3-day weekend for us in our show sense, we'll be back tomorrow for just some work stuff. But what are you watching this 3-day weekend for you here coming up?
Ooh, there's gonna be some international soccer. So this is the last.
I heard there's some qualifications tonight for the World Cup. Teams are going to make a World Cup tonight.
Some of them already happened, but those are the European ones. And tonight we have like the local, the ones from
the CONCACAF.
Well, it's CONCACAF, CONMEBOL, and you know all the other ones that are left. So
yeah,
I'm going to be watching that, and then I'm going to be watching the Japanese Grand Prix.
Japanese Grand Prix, is that F1?
Yeah, F1.
Oh boy. Who's the hot driver right now? Who's the guy who's leading the way right now?
The McLaren, the American-owned McLaren.
McLaren?
Yeah.
U.S. owned?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Well, like the owners, you know.
The owner's American. Yeah, exactly. Not the car. I'm trying to think of what I'm going to be watching. It's a little slow in the golf front, so I'm not quite there yet with it. The Masters is in a couple weeks. I've been kind of doing a little bit of the dabbling of watching some master highlights and getting ready into the Masters mindset. Cause that's Jorge, we're 2 weeks away from Masters Thursday, round one starting. And you know how big I get with the Masters. So, that's going to be a lot of fun coming up. I'm not enjoying watching the Warriors right now. So, that's not who I'll be watching this weekend. Who else will I be watching this weekend? Yeah, baseball. I think baseball is the one I'm locking into, you know. Major League Baseball's back. We're starting. My Red Sox are 1-0. On pace to go 162-0. Feels nice. And should be some good ones over the weekend when it comes to the games and everything that it brings. I'm into my fantasy baseball season, Jorge. I'm locked in on that too as well, so.
Yeah, I did my draft. I don't think it's that great.
Yeah,
it's not gonna be a good season for me.
By the way, I am gonna just push this right now because I'm a good friend, Jorge. Tomorrow, my buddy Asa and his group, for the record, is playing again tomorrow.
Friend of the show, Asa.
Friend of the show, Asa, and it's my brother works at their music shop, Gottschalks, and they're doing a thing at Summer Fox tomorrow in Tower. They have like a collaboration with a beer at Summer Fox. So if you want to Have fun tomorrow. I think it's tomorrow night at Summer Fox. I'll be there. Or no, it's not tomorrow night. Excuse me. Saturday night. It's Saturday night. Apologies. Saturday night. It's going to be a fun event at Summer Fox. They're collabing with a beer that I heard is quite delicious. So, Jorge, if you're not doing anything on a Saturday night, down at Tower, Summer Fox, if you want to come hang.
Yeah, definitely. I'll walk down there, see what's up.
See what's up. Listen to some ska and enjoy some good flavorings. Summer Fox knows what they're doing, man.
Yeah.
They do know what they know what they're doing down there. So, all right. We're approaching the end of the show. A big thank you to everyone who's come on the show this week. It was kind of just a weird week with all the stuff that's going on. Very excited, like I said, about BSE, Bulldog Sports Enterprise, that announcement coming yesterday. Like I said, it's been a whirlwind of getting this thing rolling, and we are now rolling and ready to go, and we cannot wait to be the home of the Bulldogs again starting next season. So I'm excited about that. A lot of great stuff coming our way. So, all right, we're going to take the final break of our show, and we will see you next week, 3 o'clock. Coming up next, Sweet 16, March Madness, on your way.